thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, the ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic. Thank you for joining us at the Skeptic Psychic. Tonight, we're going to talk about taphophobia, or as my favorite character in Star Trek says, buried alive. Buried alive. Imagine yourself one morning, you walk up in a cold, dark casket that is 6 feet underneath the ground of your local cemetery. 6 feet long by 6 feet deep. Your screams of panic go unheard as you bang against the lid, oxygen being sapped away every moment. You start to have a panic attack. With one final scream, you wake up in a sweat-drenched bed. Was it a nightmare? Or do you have the fear of being buried alive? Do you?
I don't. I have a fear of death, but not being buried alive.
Taphophobia comes from the Greek, meaning taphos, which is grave, and of course, everybody's favorite word, phobos, which is fear. So basically what you're saying is that fear of the grave. Now, just getting into what may have caused this before we go into the whole different stories, the inventions. Throughout history, we've had actually reports of premature deaths, but it seemed to reach the peak around the time of the 19th century with an unknown disease called cholera. And cholera is a wet bacteria that lives in warm, salty areas like the coastal shores, mostly, you know, England, New England, Asia, the coast of Asia, I should say. And how you could catch it was like eating shellfish or drinking salt water. The symptoms include vomiting, diarrhea, and leg cramps. Vomiting, diarrhea, and leg cramps. Which led to about 20% of, and only England, to die. Now, when you've got vomiting, diarrhea, and leg cramps, and you've dehydrated yourself through one way or the other, dehydration is not a very good thing. So you become pallor, your skin, you know, you stop sweating. And so it's very hard to breathe when you've got dehydration. So your vents become shallow. You may stop breathing for a little while. And doctor comes in. Bob's dead, Dale. Gotta take care of Bob, you know. People started going, hey, you know, because of these people are being buried alive, which also may have been the situation when it comes to vampirism too, because some people would crawl out of the grave later and just have a normal life. I mean, in the early 1900s, what you'd say is probably a case of premature burial was discovered of an average of once a week. Ancient Romans believed that mourners wait 8 days to bury a body. Also, you look at the fact of the Southern cultures sitting up with the dead with regards to Ray Stevens, if anybody is a fan of his. Hannah Beswick, who was an 18th century English woman, left her entire estate to her doctor, Charles White, with just one stipulation. One, her body could never be buried. Two, he had to check every day, really to make sure that she was really dead. However, White embalmed her body and kept her mummified remains in his collection. But then, of course, he did every day go up to her for several years, unveiled Miss Beswick and made sure she was dead. And after several years, he moved her to an old clock case. And once a year, he opened up the case to make sure his favorite patient was still dead. How are we doing so far over there? Any questions, any answers?
One famous legend that I was just re-looking up was the story of Mary Hart from New Haven, Connecticut. And the story goes that she was accidentally buried alive. I'm not sure if she had cholera or tuberculosis or what exactly she suffered from. But once she was buried, one of her relatives started having nightmares of her being buried alive. After begging and pleading, her body was finally exhumed. Her face was frozen in fear with her eyes wide open, her hands bloodied from her nails being broken down, and the top of the coffin was ripped to shreds where she was scratching, trying to get her way out. One of the things that was started because of this was the bell, where they would have a string on a bell that would go down into the coffin so that if somebody was definitely buried alive, they could ring the bell. And then they would have the night watchman, as you were saying, sitting up waiting to hear if the bell would ring in case they needed to dig the body back up and release the person inside. Also, Mary is known to haunt the graveyard where she was buried at. And she goes by many names, such as Midnight Mary. She does go by different names, but I can't remember exactly right what the other ones were. But that's just one legend where this has happened.
Right. There is a gentleman by the name of Timothy Clark Smith. He's buried in Vermont. And this is what he did in order to prove that when he was dead, he was dead. He put a glass pane on his grave marker to where you can actually look in and see, yep, he's dead. You know, and there's many safety devices, coffins like the bell. They actually have one where inside the coffin as well, you flip a little switch if you're dead, and it'll allow you to open up a hole in the marker to get oxygen in, as well as ringing the bell and yelling. And I've got one where just kind of easy open caskets where pushes up a ladder from the dirt. And William Ted didn't want to take any chances, so when they declared him dead, he had himself cremated.
Oh my, can you imagine still being alive and going through that?
Yeah.
Here's a story that's happened in the 20th century. It's of Angelo Hayes. It says that in 1937, Angelo Hayes, who was from France, went for a motorcycle ride. He had a horrible accident and was mangled severely and had no pulse. So the family was not able to see him because he was so badly mangled. A couple of days later, they buried him. There was an investigation by the insurance company, and he was exhumed 2 days after the funeral. His body was still warm, and it seems that in the aftermath of the accident, his body put itself into a deep coma and required little oxygen to keep the system going. When he was resumed, he was received proper medical care and went on to make a miraculous full recovery. He also invented a type of security coffin that he toured across France. It was reported to contain a small oven and a refrigerator and a hi-fi cassette player. So I guess, you know, if you do get buried alive, you could have something to eat, something to listen to while you're there.
Right. Everybody's heard of Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes.
Did you know that he actually wrote a story called The Premature Burial, in which he, as the narrator, describes going into a sense of catalepsy? It's C-A-T-A-L-E-P-S-Y, which is a nightmare of being buried alive or being comatose. Just the fear itself, even back in the day. If you ever get a chance to read it, it is very dark, very foreboding. It was published in 1850, again by Edgar Allan Poe, who years later would be found in a park in Baltimore, mumbling to himself.
So what are your thoughts on this phenomena of being buried alive?
My thoughts. It could happen. It may explain why there may have been vampires. Maybe explain why in the wild world of pre-medical situations, you know, where if you were sick, one of the things they would do was bleed you. Or if you went into a deep, dark coma, well, Bob's dead. Gotta bury Bob.
A lot of the ones that I'm finding, the different stories and legends, that was pretty much it. Either they suffered from some unexplained disease at that time, such as cholera or tuberculosis. And medical wasn't like it is now. Basically, it's like, okay, let's put a mirror under their face. If it fogs up, then they're breathing. If not, then they're dead. So yes. A lot of people did go through this happening to them.
Mm-hmm. Everett Misery by Stephen King was one of the things that, in order to bring back Misery so Annie could let him live a little while longer, was the fact of she was accidentally buried alive. And Annie thought that was a cop-out. I mean, this is something that, yeah, it could happen. It's skeptical about people actually being buried alive, but it's not really any proof of it being, you know, the exception of, okay, yeah, you may be a vampire or maybe a werewolf, or maybe you come from the ghoul of a grave.
Some of the legends that we've talked about are from centuries ago, where medical was not that advanced as it is today. Here's a story about a man in Brazil in 2013. There was a woman of his family who came to visit, and she witnessed a body emerging from a grave, waving its arms. After finally convincing the authorities to come to the cemetery, the police rescued the man, and it was believed he was a former city hall worker who had been involved in a fight in another part of the city. He presumably passed out from his injuries and was taken to the graveyard and buried. And that's in 2013, so about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, 6 years ago, a 16-year-old Honduran girl was mistakenly buried alive, and her family reported hearing screams coming from inside her coffin and hurried to open it back up. She was rushed to the hospital, but unfortunately passed. According to the relatives, her body was still warm and she had bruises on her fingertips. The glass view pane on her coffin had been smashed as well, and she was believed to have suffered a severe panic attack, which had stopped her heart temporarily, and that resulted in the initial pronouncement of her death.
Hmm.
So these are, you know, here in the new millennium, the 21st century. So as you can see, these things still happen from time to time.
Here's somebody that kind of made money off of the fact that he was buried alive. Angelo Hayes. He was a 19-year-old Frenchman who wrecked his motorcycle in 1937. I think we've already discussed this.
Yeah, that's second after Mary Hart.
Right. But he became a French celebrity. People traveled all around. And he went on tour with his own very souped-up security coffin, which had thick upholstery, a food locker, toiletries, and even a library.
Wow, that's a little more information than I found on it. I just found a stove, a refrigerator, and some cassettes to listen to.
Yeah, and a thick upholstery, a food locker, a toilet, and even a library. This guy, he lived a pretty long time after being buried alive.
So as I was saying, a lot of people going back to earlier centuries with the cholera and tuberculosis, people would become very pale. They would cough up blood. So when the family saw these things, they would assume that they were being attacked by vampires because they were growing so pale and so weak. And the coughing up the blood, they thought, well, the vampires are feeding them this blood to turn them. So when they would assume the person was dead, even if they really were not, if they were to get out of their tomb or be banging on the coffin, the family would think this is the vampire rising from the grave. So sadly, a lot of bodies were then mutilated to prevent them from rising from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine if you were actually still alive and in a coma-like state and somebody chopping up your body and arranging your body parts in a certain way so that you couldn't rise? To me, that's more terrifying than being underground.
Right. Statistically, what are the chances of being buried alive?
With today's modern medicine, I think that their percentage would be very low. I want to say maybe like 2%, if that, because we have become so advanced where with the machines and everything, they can try to detect the heart rate, the machines that measure oxygen to see if there is some breathing. So I think in today's society, it would be much harder. I think where it would be easier for it to be would be in countries that are not as advanced as we are here in the US or in other advanced countries where they don't have the medical care that we do. And so it would be easier for them to mistake somebody as being dead as opposed to having the knowledge and the technology to say, yes, they appear dead, but no, wait, they're not.
Right. Well, who knows?
Here's an interesting story.
What's
in,
that?
In 1915, a 30-year-old South Carolinian girl named Essie Dunbar had a fatal attack of epilepsy, or so it was thought. She was declared dead, and they placed her body in a coffin to schedule her funeral for the next day so that her sister could be there. The sister was late getting there, and she arrived just to see as they put the last clods of dirt on top of the grave. She was very upset that she didn't get to pay her respects, so she demanded that they resume the body. So they went ahead and dug her back up. As soon as they opened the casket, she sat straight up and smiled at everyone around her and lived for another 47 years.
Interesting.
Yes. Can you imagine that? You're at somebody's funeral. They open the casket and the body just sits right up and says, hey, yes. How's everybody doing? What are we doing here?
Okay. According to Roddy Davis, author of The Lazarus Syndrome, Buried Alive, and Other Horrors of the Undead, the percentage of premature burials have been variously estimated as somewhere between 1 per 1,000, as many as 1 or 2% of all total burials in the United States and in Europe.
And that's about what I said, about 2%.
Yeah. Just confirming what you said.
Yes, that's actually interesting. We'll provide the links for these things in the description if you want to check out these stories and facts that we've provided here.
All righty. And with that, we can go ahead and close for another wonderful discussion of skeptical as well as the legends and myths.
Yes.
You could reach us at, if you don't mind, Kim,
info@skepticpsychic.com. Go ahead and
email us. And do we have a website?
We are currently working on our website. It should be up soon, and that'll be theskepticpsychic.com as well. There you can see our previous podcasts, and you can also leave comments. Check out our blog that we have going there as well. We have some great tips, and some of them go into more detail than the show will, so I definitely recommend checking out our blog. If you want to go ahead and write into us, let us know how we're doing, what you think we can improve on, or what you love about the show. And if you have any suggestions of things we can talk about or
things we can discuss on the show.
Yes, or people that you would like to hear us talk about, or maybe even get some interviews if we're lucky.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. Do you have anybody that you would like to recommend for this week?
Yes, I do. On YouTube, a gentleman by the name of Pete. It's called The Creepy Little Book. He does it 7 days a week around 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. He comes on, discusses items of the paranormal, the mythical, and the legendary. And if you're playing the at-home game, anytime they say antediluvian, you can take the drink of your choice. That's a creepy little book, live, Sunday through Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern. Enjoy.
For me, I'd like to also recommend on YouTube, if you're somebody who, like myself, enjoys a good true crime thriller, check out Christina Randall. She's an amazing person with an amazing life. And she not only talks about things that have happened in her life, but also different crimes that have happened and goes into detail on that. She usually posts on Fridays. So definitely check out Christina Randall if you have an interest and an obsession with why people do the things they do and commit the crimes they commit.
Why does Johnny kill? And what does he kill? Check it out.
Yes. And with that, I say we bid you adieu for this week. Join us next week for our next episode. And it'll be a surprise.
Ooh. Thank you for coming to the Skeptic Sidekick. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.